everyone. Welcome to another episode of Divi Nation. Divi Nation is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. Now, the goal of Divi Nation is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller. And as your host, it's kind of my job to go out and find people in the WordPress community and the Divi community and interview them so that we can share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I'm interviewing Kenny Singh, a kind of original employee of Elegant Themes.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking about his story and his recent return to Elegant Themes and what that means for us and for you guys, the community. So Kenny, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you in person.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you in general. I mean, we kind of briefly met when I first came on. And
yeah,
then
a couple years ago.
Yeah. So we're out in your hometown, or well, your home anyway. I don't know if it's your hometown.
Yeah, I've been here for about 5 years, so.
Yeah, where'd you grow up at?
I grew up in Central California, so in between the bigger cities of Fresno and Bakersfield, if you're familiar with it. Went to school in Central California on the coast and made it up to San Francisco in 2013.
Nice. Yeah. Well, it's been pretty cool to be out here, and I got to peek over your shoulder a couple of times at some of the stuff you're working on. Here, let's have you scoot in a little bit on that mic, just so we can be a little clearer. Before we get into all the new exciting things that you've been working on and kind of the focus on designers that you're bringing to Divi moving forward, let's kind of get some of your backstory. I think a lot of people have heard your name. A lot of people know that you were very influential in getting Divi off the ground, but they probably don't know the whole story. So let's start there with, like, maybe you can tell us a bit about how you got involved with Elegant Themes in the first place and how Divi came about to begin with.
Yeah, so we can back up even a little bit further than how I got involved with Elegant Themes and kind of how I got into design in general.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So all my life, I wanted to be an architect. So I was just one of those kids that drew a lot and was excited about art. And when I got into school, I got into school for more structural engineering, and that just wasn't allowing me the creative freedom that I wanted. I got really, really excited about screen printing in high school and college, and that's how I kind of made my way into what people call graphic design, very generically. From there, I transferred into the design program at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, which is when I met Nick Rich.
Yeah. And you guys went to college together.
And so we kind of, we were always kind of like a design team. You know, he always critiqued my work. I always critiqued his work. I saw him getting Elegant Themes kind of off the ground at that time. And so it was cool to live kind of like vicariously through him. He was, you know, very kind of like early in the days of web and premium themes. And so
very early. I mean, like, it was
very
basically Genesis and Elegant Themes were like the first two kind of established shops. Like,
yeah. And I really knew nothing about WordPress at the time. And so, time kind of flew by, graduated, and I got into the agency world where I was doing more kind of client-based work. And from there, stayed in touch with Nick and eventually made my way up to San Francisco and started working for Elegant Themes in 2013 when I moved to San Francisco. And so that was a really kind of like crazy time for me because I was transferring from this idea of doing like strict client work to doing web design.
I guess I didn't realize that's because, like, I had thought you were, you know, 2010-ish, but 2013, that's literally right around the time that Divi came out. Was that like the first big project that you worked on?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Tell us that story.
Yeah. So, actually when I joined, you know, it was like, okay, this is WordPress. And I really knew nothing about it, except that it was gaining a lot of momentum.
Yeah.
And I had made a WordPress theme or website before. Or a website using WordPress before.
One.
I think I was using...
Here, let me
adjust this real quick. This is, so it's like Shoe Live, folks. Let me make sure I have this.
Alright, so... Yeah, so tell us the story of kind of the creation of Divi and your first little bit right here at Elegant Themes.
So the first thing I did was I actually created just a really simple WordPress theme design, and it is called Serene, the name of that theme, and it was kind of like our first attempt at freemium.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we got that on .com, and it was, you know, I was learning like what a post type is, right? And so it was really just like really fresh into WordPress, and I was learning a lot really, really quickly. And I kind of saw the history of Elegant Themes, which was a ton of themes, right?
Yeah, like a theme a month, basically. Yeah,
exactly. And I remember in college, you know, these like big launch days that Nick would talk about. Mm-hmm. And so it was so often and so common that, that the company was releasing themes. And so when I joined, we talked a lot about like, is that something we want to continue doing?
Yeah.
Is this something that, you know, I would enjoy doing? Is it something that the company would benefit from? And so early conversations that Nick and I had kind of rallied behind this, this idea of this all-in-one theme, right? Which was big a few years ago. Like that's what people called it, these all-in-one themes, right? And now it seems like all the big guys and all the new things out there are, they're all all-in-one themes, right?
Yep.
Like everything has to be kind of all-in-one, quote unquote, all-in-one. And so that was very new for the company. And we didn't really know what that meant for us and what we wanted that to mean for us. So we sat and really decided, like, what does it mean for Elegant Themes and all of its existing users to see a huge launch of an all-in-one theme? And so meanwhile, this was like, again, I didn't know what a post type was, right?
Yeah.
And so, but I think that that was kind of cool. And Nick recognized that, you know, he's been doing this for years. And I was someone that was coming in kind of not knowing a whole lot, right? I was very focused on design at the time. I was very focused on software just in general, like in terms of being a tool for designers and developers. But I wasn't thinking about like how people are using WordPress. And because this was such a new idea, it was kind of nice to have someone that...
That's what I was just getting there to ask is like, do you think a lot of people when they come across Divi, they're like, this is like nothing I've used before in the WordPress space. And do you think your not being from the WordPress world really helped in shaping that?
I think that like, you know, that's, that can't take all the credit, but I think there's a huge piece of that that like lives within Divi, right? This idea that I didn't want to rely on some of the WordPress core functionality, because actually I didn't even know what was there. Right. And Nick and I made like a really dynamic team, and that I would kind of like show something to him and it was like, wait, there's already core functionality for that. You know, we don't need to design that. So there was this,
but then
we
there's found all the other stuff too, where it's like, you're bringing stuff in. It's like, whoa, like
exactly.
Nobody in the WordPress space is even thinking like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was really funny because Nick and I just last week pulled up the original designs for Divi.
Oh, that'd be
like
cool.
The original to see. Photoshop files. Right.
Yeah.
And it was funny because, you know, I had my like version folders, R1, R2, R3, and R1, we pulled it up the other day, and Divi is spelled D-I-V-V-Y in my original mocks. You know, it was like, we hadn't even decided on a name.
That's funny. Yeah.
And so, you know, it goes way back, and some of those designs are not, I wouldn't say they're like terrible.
Yeah.
Right. But if you compare them to the crazy robust work we're doing today, it's really cool to see how far it's come. And so, talking about how we kind of like dove into this idea of a builder.
Yeah.
Before we did that, we actually had to figure out like, what are people building, right? Versus how do we want them to build it with Divi? And so we really kind of just like dissected what was popular at the time. And I think a lot of those trends are still popular today.
Was that looking at other themes or was that looking at people's finished websites?
Both. I mean, it was really looking at what other themes are doing, right? From a competitive point of view. But, you know, we all know that some of these like demos and examples of some of these themes out there, they're sometimes just not realistic, right? And looking at...
They look great, but like you would never want to set your website up that way if like for practical reasons.
Potentially, yeah. Or like not everyone has professional photography or this amazing color palette and brand that is very, very established. Sometimes it's a little more scrappy than that. And we needed to understand that. So looking at, you know, existing sites, even that people were building with Elegant Themes, was really important for us because we needed to understand how do we allow people to build something with Divi that they were able to build with every other elegant theme in the past, right? And so that was kind of like a challenge for me. It's like, I didn't want to negate all of the themes that had already been built by elegant themes, but a challenge was like, how do we build potentially everything that you can build in those themes with just one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was kind of a first step in how I thought about an all-in-one theme. And so that's really where you get the like stark whiteness of Divi. It was like, I really wanted people to not feel like they were adding a bunch of content to the page, or they have a bunch of content on the page already, and then they're using a builder to like move stuff around, right? Yeah. It was really like a blank canvas, and the builder was enabling people to combine the process of generating content and designing content at the exact same time versus trying to do that independently.
I think you mentioned that the other day in a conversation. You said like, you know, you wanted the builder to work in such a way that if a designer were to sit down and go, I like a page with this many rows and columns, they could sit there and create the structure of the website as they're loading in their content.
Exactly.
And I think that did really set Divi apart. I mean, that was like, I remember using short codes to create columns in the editor, in just the generic WordPress editor. And it was such a pain. And it never was... Not only was it never easy and it never looked good on the back end, like when as you're working on it, but to tweak things and to get it to look the way you wanted was just it was a nightmare.
Yeah. I think that everyone that's used like a builder, WordPress builder, a website builder, can agree that just understanding the structure of that specific builder in terms of columns, what people call modules or content blocks or rows or sections or groups, right? There's the nomenclature there is really tough. And not every builder is set up the same, and not every designer or developer builds the same, right? And so we wanted to, I think Divi was maybe one of the first builders to like have this idea of grouped rows, which is what we call a section. It sounds very, very obvious, right? But I think that there are still like pieces that are going to be confusing, like no matter what, because not every designer thinks the same way. And I think that that's like the beauty of web design, right? But we landed on that structure by looking at other sites and saying like, this feels like a section, or these feel like rows, or these feels like columns. And how would someone build this from scratch?
It's so funny because that now, like you said, the nomenclature of section, row, module is so ingrained in the Divi community that it's hard to think of a time in which someone had to go, we should really have a name for this or for that. And this is the relationship that those things should have with each other and how it should work. So it's really cool to know that that was like a big problem that you had to solve early on. Because now once you establish those big things, it's like as you go on, it's all becomes like fine tuning and feature ads and user requests. And it all exists within that framework that you set up at the very beginning. But it's like without that framework and without knowing that you would want certain types of relationships between different pieces of content very early on, none of that would be possible. So it's really cool to know that was a conversation and a problem at the beginning.
Yeah, and it makes me happy that like that has become successful, right? Like it's people are obviously using it and using it well. And it's working for a lot of really, really diverse designs.
Yeah.
But there's a very good chance that I'm sitting here today and like that didn't work.
Yeah.
Right. So it's really awesome to see how big Divi has become, and that potentially just like the underlying structure that we created has a big, big part in that.
Yeah. So you worked on Divi. You were the first one to work on it. From what I understand, the story goes a little something like this, and you can confirm and probably add a little bit, is back when we were still doing like a theme a month, basically, you guys were having this conversation that you talked about, and Nick goes, hey, we need a multi-purpose theme. Can you work on that? And you came back more or less with what became Divi. Is that kind of how it worked?
Yeah, I mean, it was even Nick getting to the point of we need to create an all-in-one theme was, I think, it was something he knew was like inevitable, right? But we also knew that it was going to be a huge risk and that you can't create an all-in-one theme in a month, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you can now. There's a lot of like really good examples of all-in-one themes out there, but we didn't have a lot to go off of 4 years ago, right? There were some big players in the game in terms of creating really, really robust themes with pre-made layouts kind of built in.
That was kind of all the rage on Theme Forest is
exactly.
It wasn't necessarily a multi-purpose theme, but they packaged it with a bunch of layout examples and stuff like that. So it kind of became a multi-purpose theme in a weird way. So I don't want to get too... I feel like we need to move to a couple different points in the story because we're going to be limited on time. But one of the things we launched Divi. You guys went through that whole process. We finally launched Divi and it was 2013 still, right? And end of 2013, I believe. I came on at beginning of end of 2013, early 2014 as a freelancer, and Divi had just launched. You guys did the 12 days of Divi in December.
Right. Yeah, I can't remember. It was a hectic time, but
yeah,
it was about a year, 6 months to a year after I started.
So the thing I want to ask you is you were working on and continuing to develop Divi for about a year, and then you left and you went and worked at Google for a while.
I did.
And there's probably a whole other podcast that we could talk about that.
Yes.
But I'm curious, when you were gone between, let's say, the tail end of 2015 and today, what was it like to see this thing that you and Nick had created and kind of taken a gamble on become this just juggernaut that is Divi? And did you ever like peek in at the new features and go, oh, I want to get back in there.
Of course I did. No, that's an awesome question. And I hope I can give a really good answer, but it's definitely a multifaceted answer, right?
Yeah.
So when I left, Divi was just on fire, right? Yeah. It had all this momentum and I worked on probably for a month what became 3.0. Which is this huge, you know, 100 days of Divi launch.
Yep.
And I was working on, I still have initial mocks of the front end builder. It looks nothing like what I designed. No, there's definitely parts of, you know, it's like that the live text editor was like my last contribution to the company before I left. And so there was a lot of things that I had designed that hadn't been built, mm-hmm. right? And so I was obviously looking to see those launch. And Nick and I remained, you know, in contact over the years. Yeah. And I remember him telling me that we're going to do this 100 days of Divi. You know, we did 12 days of Divi and that, you know, we didn't sleep for, you know, a month to do that. And so this 100 days was just like in my head. I knew it was going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And I definitely watched from the sidelines, cheered everyone on from the sidelines. And when, 3.0 launched, just this idea of having a front end editor was, I think, something that was a natural progression for Divi, right? Mm-hmm. There were a lot of expectations around it. And we can get into this later, but there's this huge idea that people build differently, right? There's some people that build with the back end. There's some people that build with the front end. There's people that think more structurally versus visually. And so I was really, really excited to be able to cater towards that group of thinkers that mm-hmm. designs very visually on the front end, right? And I don't know if jealousy is the right word, but or envy, but I think it was just more excitement to see this thing blowing up into this, like, I don't know. It was just like this beast, right? This awesome beast. And I don't know that I ever imagined that it could be this big.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was like, man, I kind of like felt myself wishing that I was still a part of those launches, right? Like, I just remember what it felt like to launch a big product at Elegant Themes. And when I saw them launch 3.0, it was just like, you know, it's, you know, awesome. I'm glad that it's still doing well, but I just felt so disconnected from it emotionally. And, you know, I was deep in other work at the time at a totally different company. And I guess then a year after that, it kept going, right? It kept getting bigger mm-hmm. and bigger. And the community is really, really what I think brought me back. And I had long conversations with my wife about, man, is it weird that I'm feeling these like
I just want to get back in there?
Urges to like be in the blog post conversations and or like even writing a blog post every once in a while and being involved in the Facebook groups and et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I was just like missing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I definitely paid attention to everything that was going on, but I knew there was still just a lot that I didn't know.
Yeah. So coming back into it and seeing, I mean, because I imagine you were very much still keeping, as you were keeping in touch with Nick, so you probably still had a good idea of like where Divi was going and and what the future was. When you got back in the company and started taking a look at where you could contribute, what are some of the first places your mind went?
Yeah, I mean, I think that my mind went to those places far before I joined.
Okay.
And I think those are the reasons why, what really pulled me back in. And I had some early conversations with Nick, you know, like asking him about what his vision for the product was. And that played a huge role in me coming back as well. You know, without giving away too many details of what we have in store, you know, I think that what got me excited is this idea that when we started, we were really catering towards this like individual designer building a website, you know, maybe one website, maybe two websites.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think over the years we saw that people are really using Divi to build like
An agency could use it and they're cranking out like 150 websites a year or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that we always like knew that there might be those people.
Yeah.
But I don't think I ever really imagined like that might be potentially a primary audience.
Yeah. Like the norm almost is.
Yeah.
Or at least a large portion.
Yeah. And so you know, for me, it was this idea that Divi is still so young.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left it, it didn't feel old. It just felt like, okay, what's the next thing? Yeah. Like, how do we make the next best product?
Yeah. How do we beat Divi or something? Yeah.
Exactly. And so coming back, it was like, it just made me realize that Divi's timeline is
way
longer. We can't even see the end. Right.
So,
when we started talking about how do we cater to different types of people using Divi, like I said, like with the front end builder, right? Like that's catering towards an entirely different type of thinker.
Yeah.
And that got me excited to, you and I have talked about personas of the Divi community there's a lot of them out there and there's a lot more than what I think we started with or that we think we started with. Right. And so that I think is going to take Divi into this direction where everything that we launch, we start thinking about like, well, how does like a traditional graphic designer think about this feature? How does a developer that's going to do this 1,000 times per month think about this feature?
Yeah. Right. One of the interesting things that, one of the interesting directions that I feel like conversation in the office has been going that I really like is the idea of thinking of Divi like an application instead of a theme and thinking of it in terms of like, sort of in the same way that when, you know, people created Sketch because they, you know, Photoshop was no longer doing it for everybody, you know? So like this idea that it's a tool specifically for designers, we're paying attention to what they need and we're making it really robust for, you know, for one thing, for like doing UX and UI and stuff like that. And so like this idea that Divi would become that for the WordPress and web design community, like this is an application that lives, you know, over top of your platform and you can do anything with it that you need to run to run your business basically.
Yeah. I think that that's another topic. That's like one of those things we could talk about for another, you know, 2 hours, but I won't. But I'm definitely on the Sketch train. I'm a huge nerd about it. And I think the reason why is because exactly what you're talking about, it does blur this line between web development and design, right? And those two things are very different. And Sketch is doing a great job at not just becoming a CSS editor.
Right.
Right. In the same way that I think we need to be careful with Divi is to not just be Sketch or not just be Photoshop on the web. Yeah. Right. There are definitely pros of something like that. But there's also complexities with something like that. Mm-hmm. Right. And a totally different way of thinking. And so I think it's really going to be about like, how do we make, and you and I have talked about this, is how do we make things that are potentially complex? I don't know if I like the word advanced, but how do we make the complex seem really, really simple and not intimidating? Exactly. And so I think that there's a lot of things out there that a lot of people think, oh, that's like very simple, or I understand, or I can just write the custom CSS for that. But then there's this whole other piece of the pie that they don't want to see the code, or they don't want to know CSS, right?
Or even if they know do, it, they exactly. know it. It's just so much easier. And even, and I think there's something about like in the enjoyment of designing, like what's more enjoyable, to like get your hands, so to speak, on something and move it around, or to like hit a couple keystrokes and see it change. It's like a lot of people, I think, like the idea of having those controls and those sliders and all the things that have made the Divi settings, design settings, what they are today. And I think going further in that direction and maybe like migrating some of the, those advanced features into more user-friendly controls would be really welcome.
And I would say about, two or three years ago, we were already thinking about how do we take this idea of like the best tools and graphic software like Photoshop and bring them into Divi. And that's kind of how the idea of global modules were, or global sections and global rows were created, is how do you have these things that are linked but aren't in every way.
And now, I mean, since you've came back, now we're doing some really exciting things with, you know, like filters, like image filters and overlays and all that good stuff. I mean, like we're really starting to see the kind of hallmarks of design software start to find their way into the controls of Divi, and things that would have been pretty difficult to do for the average person, especially like a tinker or a DIY user with CSS, just a couple clicks, you know. And that's always been the power of Divi, but I think now it's getting to the point where even people who are a fair hand at CSS are like, thank goodness, that's just, I can click on that now, because that's kind of a pain.
And this might make me sound nostalgic about tools, but I just don't necessarily believe in creating tools to completely negate other tools, right? So like, I don't want to create something that replaces Photoshop. I don't want to create something that replaces Sketch or a sketchbook, right? Like, that's not what we're trying to do. Or at least in my mind, that's not what I want to create. So it's like, how do we, but then how do we take,
but it's like getting the same utility for a different purpose. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Right. So like, why, there's certain things that you shouldn't need to use Photoshop for.
Right.
But then there are certain things that you should probably use Photoshop for.
Exactly.
And so how can we find those things and make sure that they're in the right places, whether or not that's in Divi or in the front end builder or in the theme settings, right? And we have to figure out what that balance is. But I want to circle a little bit back to what's really getting me excited about moving forward. And that really is thinking about this idea of, I don't know if personas is the right word for it, but this different type of user, right? And I think that's something we haven't talked about yet, is a user that is using Divi for the first time and a user that has used Divi 100 times or even a couple times, right? And so,
you're talking like user journeys, like how do we map that person's experience from 1 to 100?
Yes, and how do we potentially actually make that unique per type of user, right?
Interesting.
And so those are things that we haven't dove super deep on, and we definitely don't have solutions for those things right off the top of my head, but...
So you're talking like, maybe I can give an example and you can confirm. So let's say, you know, you're a restaurant owner and it's your very first time loading up Divi. So your experience, say, is like, because it's your first time, it's super simplified, and all you get is like a choice of like, what kind of business do you run? And you click on restaurant, and all of a sudden you have like an experience catered towards creating a very quick and easy website for what you do. And then as you get, as you're using it more, like more options expand or become available, or you can choose to open up more stuff. Is that the kind of stuff you're talking
about? Yeah. I mean, that's like one example, right? Of many. And I think that, you know, we can even stick with that example for now, but say you're creating, you know, a restaurant website, you could be creating it completely from scratch. Like you have no content, you have no brand, you know, and you could be creating it where like you have this existing brand, you have these existing images, and maybe it's even your 10th restaurant website you built with Divi. Right. So even that user, or that seemingly simple user, it actually becomes a dozen personas really, really quickly.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. And so how do we, without being intrusive and annoying when you're just trying to like, you know, like onboarding processes where you're like, I just skip. Yep. Like, how do we not get people to skip that
but
and create an actual meaningful, intelligent onboarding flow where we're not like, maybe there's things that we can actually know about a user without having to ask them, right?
Yeah.
And also without, like, I'm really scared about assumptuous like onboarding flows where it's like, okay, like I'm making a restaurant theme, so we're only going to show you things that we think you want to see.
Sure.
Right. Sure. And I think that that's naive from our point of view and
potentially really frustrating from a user's
point. And a lot of people are not going to see that connection right off the bat that a website for a restaurant could be almost like very, very close to a website for a one-time, one-day event.
Sure.
Right. And so, because that event could have a menu page or something like that. Yeah. Right. And so we have to just figure out
of a reservation and all that. Yeah.
Similar. And so how do we get people off the ground really, really quickly without hiding options or getting them into this like maze where we've like, well, you told us you wanted to turn right. So we actually closed the door to the left.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
There's still got to be that way to get back there if you want to.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be hard to find.
It shouldn't be hard. Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So basically we would just have to really understand those personas. And then instead of hide things, just guide them with helpful like prompts.
Yeah. And I think that that's really hard to do because
You don't
everyone's just trying to simplify.
Yeah. And you don't want to be clippy. Like, hey, I know, you know, you don't want that experience.
Exactly.
But you do want something that is somewhat automated and helpful and has, you know, responds to triggers and all that good stuff. So it's like,
yeah,
all right.
Do you really want to see an onboarding flow if you're using Divi for the thousandth time?
Yeah, thousandth
like,
time.
You're like, nope, I know what a section is. Don't show me how to use a section.
I'm actually really excited for the documentation update that we're going to do where all of our new doc videos are going to be like kind of baked in. If you want, it won't be forced on you, but if you want, there's like, you can click a button and all of a sudden there's a nice tutorial video on the page with you showing you how the thing that you're using works. And this goes the first step in that direction.
Yeah. And that's a great comment. That goes directly to what I was saying about, like, I don't think we should be creating things to replace other things, but we should be making those experiences better. And so
we got to wrap up soon.
Okay. Yeah. You know, even though that documentation lives elsewhere, like it should probably also live, you know, straight within Divi as well.
Right. Well, we could literally, and we have been talking about this for days already. So, let's wrap up for now. And I'm sure there's going to be lots of questions for you in the comments.
Yep.
This is going to be out on Friday, so we'll still be here on the company trip. So we can jump in the comments together and start to answer people's questions. That is all for this episode, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Like I said just now, we will be available for answering any questions or comments that you have. So feel free to leave those on the Elegant Themes blog. And as usual, we will be back, maybe not right here, but right here on the blog next week with a new episode of Divi Nation.